Welcome back to Real Podcast. I'm your host, Kiara, and I am so excited for this episode. I'm always excited for every single episode. But as you can see by the title, it is not a light episode. Before anything, I'm going on a trip this weekend and I'm so excited. I'm going to Washington, D.C. And this is a full circle moment from like literally last year. I was on the same exact trip, but I kind of went. I mean, I was with friends, but that trip was life changing. I want to tell you that trip was life altering. I know I talked about it a little bit around that time when I had dropped episodes and stuff, but yeah, that time was just God was doing some crazy things and God had spoken to me on that trip, and I had gone with friends, but I was really by myself on that trip, if that makes sense. Like, I was with people, but at the same time God was really just like having one-on-one with me. And this time I'm gonna be with some more closer friends, if that makes sense. I'm gonna be with friends that are we're a little bit more closer. They're like family to me, siblings at that. Not that my other friends weren't, but it was just a different experience. I had just met those people on that trip, basically, so now they're my friends. But yeah, it was a lot of new faces for me at that time, and I really only knew like maybe four faces on this trip, and they were like really involved in that event and stuff. So it was kind of like I said, I was really by myself, and I met amazing people, and they're now my friends, people I consider family. So yeah, it's just a full circle moment. I am now going with people that I've had a longer friendship with, and my boyfriend's coming through, so I'm excited. We're really, really excited. We're leaving tomorrow, and I honestly have no expectations. Like, I have no clue what God's gonna do, but I think those are my favorite trips and moments with God, is when you least expect it or when you just don't know. So yeah, I'm really excited to learn and to meet new people and to see some old people that I haven't seen in a year. But yeah, it's gonna be amazing. So on top of that, there's some wonderful things coming. I am having a guest episode very, very, very soon. If it's not the next episode, I think it's gonna be the one after, but yeah, I'm really excited. So in a few weeks you will be having another guest episode, and the next couple of months are kind of scheduled out with a lot of guests, so be prepared. It's gonna be so fun. It's gonna be great. But yeah, so let's get into it. With this episode, I just gave a little backstory. I'm a very busy person. I'm a very busy person. Sometimes I feel as if I just have so much on my plate. And when you are a visionaire like me, a person who just, I'm a creative, so I love just doing things. I love making things. I love making things come to life, especially with God on my side. And when it's blessed by God, and when God's hand is over something and he anoints that thing that you're doing and he blesses it, it's something that you just take and you go in full send. And the thing with me is that I have so many visions, and I just like, when I picture something, I am a go-getter. If I see it, I want it, I'm going to get it. So my problem is that sometimes I can have a lot on my plate, and I get consumed in my work, and I get consumed in life things that, and we're always transparent on this podcast, but I can get so consumed in the things that I do sometimes that I do have days where I forget to pray, and there's days where I forget to read my Bible, and there's days where I just don't have my intimate time with God. And that's just the reality of things. And to sit here and say and lie about it, or just be like, yeah, no, like I do all these things and I do all these amazing things, I would be lying to you. I would be lying to you. I'd be lying to God, because He knows. He knows everything. So, yeah, we're honest on this podcast. So I titled this episode, "When You Can't Be Destroyed, You Will Be Distracted." And personally, for a couple of months, God has just been making so many changes in my life and adjusting things and altering things and just playing around with my schedule sometimes, that if you saw my calendar, I literally have so much. I'm blessed by everything, but sometimes when you have so much, it's just, it's overwhelming, and it's very overwhelming. So learning how to balance yourself, learning how to manage your things and managing your time is so important. And that's something that God is working with me right now, is managing my time correctly. I don't want to fall into a habit of poor time management. I've seen it. I've been there before, and that's something that I really am focusing on for the next couple of months, especially with the podcast. But yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, I had a friend call me, and I was just sharing with them, you know, I have so much going on. Actually, they didn't even call me to really, like, it was kind of just, they called me because they needed to ask me a question. And we were just talking about things, and then it kind of led into how life is going. And I was like, well, you know, to be honest, like, I just feel like there's so much going on, and I have so many things on my plate, and I just don't understand why. I love the fact that God chooses me, and that God trusts me with these things, but I feel like I can't trust myself sometimes. And that's just the reality of things. So I just kind of shared what's going on and all the little details of my schedule and day and what I do. And they had asked me, well, you know, if you were to focus on one thing out of all of those things that you just shared with me, if you were to focus on one thing, what would it be? And I said, honestly, I mean, my podcast, that's my baby. That's something that I would never put on the back burner. And they were like, well, then focus on that. And I was like, you're right. Conviction, major conviction. So I was like, okay, you're right. So I started just really thinking about it, and I just really started praying to God. And I was like, God, I don't know what you want me to do. What do you want me to do? And just really going back and forth with Him. And for a few weeks, it wasn't until last week that God had given me this title for this episode. But previously, for a few weeks, I was thinking, I was like, God, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me, not even what you want me to talk about, what do you want me to do right now? Because I have so many things. It's like, God, I don't want to let things fall through the cracks, and I want to be a good steward of things, but I also don't always want to be so overwhelmed. And God, I know you trust me, I know you believe in me, but 2025, I don't want to be your strongest soldier like I did that for the last 4 years. Like, God, give me a break. But I kind of just left it in God's hands, and I was like, okay, you know, this is how it is right now. So it wasn't until last week that God had given me the title, "When You Can't Be Destroyed, You'll Be Distracted." And God had reminded me of the story of Jesus being tempted and Jesus being taken into the desert. So we're gonna read it. And it's not super long, so I'm gonna read the entire thing. But it's Matthew 4. It says, the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Parentheses. The enemy was questioning his identity, questioning who he was. If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, I want you to highlight that. If you are in front of your Bible or taking notes, I want you to highlight, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Mind you, it says in the beginning, it says he fasted and became very hungry. He was fasting. And the first thing that he tempted Jesus with was something in the physical, his body. That's another thing to write down. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scripture says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. And it's crazy because you see here that the enemy knows scripture. The enemy knows the word of God, right? But it says, if you are the Son of God, jump off. If you are the Son of God, again, he's questioning his identity. He's making Jesus believe, if you are the Son of God, if you really say who you say you are, then why don't you do this? Why don't you jump off? Angels are going to catch you. They're going to protect you. Why don't you jump off? Then 7 says, Jesus responded, the scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. You must not test the Lord your God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, I will give it all to you. I'll give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. The enemy said this to Jesus. If you will kneel down and worship me, I'll give everything to you. Jesus says, get out of here, Satan. Jesus told him, for the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. And you see that in this story, you can see that Jesus was tempted in three ways. Jesus was tempted in his body, in his mind, and in his soul. We are made up of the three. Our mind, our body, and our soul. The first one was his body. He was tempted with his physical body. He was fasting. And the enemy tempts him with his physical hunger. But he says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We do not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. We don't live. That's why when we fast, some people have done, especially in the month of January, a lot of people tend to do the Daniel fast, or people fast something in the month of January. But it's not just January that we should be fasting. We should take our time to fast with the Lord, and whether it's eating cleaner and obviously when you're fasting, you want to look into the fast that you do. And I've said this before. Look into fasting. Please look into fasting, because the new culture that's happening right now is that fasting is just tends to be social media or things in that in that matter, but fasting in our physical flesh, meaning fasting with food and things that we are, our body actually needs. We, as human beings, we do not need social media. It is not a need. It is not a necessity. We were not created to have that need, but we do need food. That's how we survive. So yes, I think that we should take breaks from social media and that we should have our time to kind of like recover, for, especially with all the things that we see. Sometimes it can be a little bit too much, but not only social media, but please put, make your fast the foundation. Make it about, you know, your physical. So again, definitely look into fasting, read the scriptures, what it says, and learn on it before you do it. I feel like sometimes people think that there's only one style of fasting or there's only one way to do things, and that's absolutely not true. You see that there's Daniel fast, you see that there's the 40-day fast, which Jesus did, and a few others in the Bible, but also the Esther fast, and there's so many other fasts that you can do. Again, and let it be spirit led. Allow the Lord to speak to you and what you need to do. And it's personal. It's, the word says not to actually share when you're fasting because it's so personal. And it's not something that you flaunt about or share to people about. But anyways, yes, that's the close of my parentheses. So we see that Jesus was not just tempted with, Jesus was also tempted with his physical body. And then we see he's also tempted with his mind. It says, if you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scripture says, his mind, right? We should be not just reading the word of God, but writing it on our hearts. And our hearts are connected to our mind as well. So when we are reading scripture and we live the word of God, it should be on our hearts. And obviously when we speak it, it's coming from our mind because we know it, but it should always be written on our hearts. And it's like I've said before, you know, we can say all the scriptures that we want, preach all we want to preach, but if you do not live the word of God, if you are not writing it on your heart, then it's just, it means nothing. It means absolutely nothing because it's not transforming your life. The word of God should always transform our lives. So next it says, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms in the world, all of the kingdoms in the world. And it's funny because, well, this is how I like put the Bible into picture for myself sometimes. It's funny because the enemy really is such a copycat. He is such a copycat. He can never be original. He can never just make up his own thing. He always has to copy God because he was created in the image of God when he was in heaven with God. So I think it's funny how he comes and he shows Jesus. He brings Jesus to a very high mountain and he says, look at all of these kingdoms. I can give you everything. I can give you all that you desire if you just bow down and worship me. And I promise you, Jesus was probably like, boy, if you only knew, and you do know, because he did know, he knew. So Jesus was definitely too stunned to speak, for sure. He was too stunned. So he was not just tempted with his body, his mind, but also his soul. It says in Matthew 16:26, it says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? If anything, is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And Jesus, you can see here that Jesus was like, what Jesus said to him, go away, leave, because what you're saying for me to bow down to you, for me to worship you, is not worth losing my soul. And you can see in our culture nowadays, especially in Hollywood, right? We hear so much about people and so much about artists or just actors or whatever the case is, that they sell their souls. Why? Because their eyes are fixated on a physical satisfaction. You get all the riches, you get the fame, you get the house and the cars and the girls and the guys and whatever it is, because their eyes are fixated on the wrong thing, and they're always looking at what's the next thing to satisfy me, what's the next thing to fill my voids, what's the next thing to make me feel good. It's a happy, make me feel good type of culture. And it's not just in Hollywood that we're living this in, but it's also in our everyday culture. We're living it in our schools, we're living it in our workplaces. It's what's the next thing that makes me feel good. That's the thing, is that the kingdom of God is not something that just makes you feel good. The kingdom of God is something that we have to die to ourselves, die to our own flesh, die to our own desires, to then obtain from God, because it's an inheritance. But you don't obtain something, and I'm pretty sure I talked about this in the last episode, when a prince or a princess is now sworn into being the king or the queen, they have to do a certain amount of things to then, they have to do certain things, but they also have to live accordingly to uphold that title, to uphold their royalty. And what is it that we are able to gain an inheritance and be and have the kingdom of God, but we don't live the way that God has intended us to live? We don't live the way, we don't live godly lives. So how are we supposed to gain a kingdom that is eternal, but we don't live in a godly manner? And it's not, and it's so crazy. We were talking about this today in a discipleship class that I'm in for my congregation. And we're talking about how, you know, being new in Christ, and how a lot of people tend to either have this new, you know, when you come into Christianity, or not even Christianity, but when you give your life to Christ and you're now living a new life, it can be very difficult, because you have this, you're so used to your fleshly desires, you're so used to the things of the world, you're so used to what you know, or even people who are not new to it. And I was saying this, I was saying how, you know, it's not even just the people that have recently just given their life to Christ for the first time, but it's also people who have been in it for so long, yet they only know traditions, they only know religion. And the thing with that is that when we don't put these things into practice, it's not that we're living unholy lives, or we're not, you know, we should be ashamed or whatever the case is. It's just sometimes we have to change what we know. And it's changing our habits, changing the things that we decide, things that we want. And it is very difficult. It is extremely difficult. That's so, like, we understand that. But the thing is that you have to put in an effort. You have to try. You have to seek the things of the Lord. And something that God reminded me of, especially this week, was when you are trying to seek me, when you are looking for me, when you are really in communion with me and you are in relation with me, you have to get close to my heart. Because in order for you to change your heart, you have to be near to my heart. Because my heart is the heart that's going to change you. And that really, really, really convicted me. Because for some time I was kind of like, God, you know, and honestly, like, living in shame of like, God, you know, I'm just not doing the things that I should be doing, in the sense that I'm not reading my word every single day, and I haven't been in my books lately. I've been so busy, I've been so distracted. And sometimes the enemy loves to creep up and just distract you. The enemy loves to just sit there and whisper all these things into your ear, just to convince you that you're not capable of coming back to the feet of God. And that is the worst thing that we can do, because it pushes us further from God rather than drawing us near to Him. Because God never left us. God never leaves us. It's us. It's us who leave Him. It's us who walk away. It's us who live in shame. It's us who, you know, make decisions. So, like I said, going back to the word, Jesus was tempted with His body, His mind, and His soul. And that's something that we struggle with. We struggle with our body. We struggle with our mind. And we struggle with our soul. And like I said, you know, it is not worth losing our souls. Nothing is worth losing our soul. And it's a culture that we've just been so exposed to. And it's just, it gets worse and worse. It gets worse and worse. And that's why it's so important for us as believers, us as sons and daughters, to stand out in this culture. Why do we want to be so conformed to the things of this world? The word literally says it. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing, renewal. We need to change. We need to renew our minds. We need to shift our perspective. We need to shift what we know. But we cannot conform to the patterns of this world. So, that was another, like, tab. So then it says, the last thing it says, the last verse in the story of Jesus says, then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. God always looks out for us. He always looks out for us. Even in that, it goes to show that Jesus is so, can relate with us so much. The difference is that temptation, the difference is that Jesus was tempted, but Jesus didn't fall into sin. The issue with us as humans is that we are tempted and we tend to fall into sin. But it goes to show, this goes to show that Jesus was tempted. Jesus was the flesh here on earth of God. He was God walking on earth. That portion of Him, the Trinity, He was here. And He shows us that we are capable of doing it. We are capable of turning away from sin. We are capable of fighting off our thoughts. We are capable. And it's not just alone, but we are capable with the Spirit of God. And it shows it. This is why I love this story of Jesus in particular, because it shows the human side of Him. How He felt, what we feel. He sees what we see. He knows what we know. And it just shows the side of Him where, yes, He was like us. The only difference was that He was holy. And still is. So we are to live like Him. We are to be a reflection of Him. We are to fight off our temptation. Doesn't mean that temptation is not what's bad. Sin is what's bad. Temptation is not the sin. Temptation is the test. Let me say that again. Temptation is not the sin. Temptation is the test. When we are in situations where we are being tempted, it's because we are being tested. Holy Spirit, thank you. And the thing is that when we fall into sin, that's when repentance needs to happen. So when we fall into sin, it's not even just doing things in the physical, but it's also doing things even mentally, spiritually. When we are being tempted is because the Lord is testing us. When we are in situations where we are torn between two, it's because the Lord is literally asking us, are you ready? Are you capable? Are you going to withstand this? Are you going to say no? Are you going to ground yourself? When situations happen, when things come, when you're out with your friends and your friends want you to do something that you know you shouldn't do, or even at the fact that you are still around these type of people, or you're still surrounding yourself around these people, sometimes the Lord is putting us in situations because he says, I've shown you this time and time again, and now it's time for you to put your words into action. I said to someone the other day, we were talking about something that was going on with them, and I said to them, sometimes when you pray and when you ask God, you know, Lord, show me these things and reveal it to me, and it comes and God puts it in front of you and he says, this is exactly what I'm showing you. Why do we tend to run from it? Why are we so scared when God answers what we ask for? If anything, that goes to show that God is such a loving God and God is trying to look out for us, that he's like, okay, you didn't believe me the first time, you didn't believe me the second time, you're not believing me the third time, so you know what, I'm going to show you. And it sometimes can take painful experiences for us to realize that there's a test being given to us. My boyfriend said this perfectly. He said to me, you know, it's like a teacher giving you a test, right? You are given this test by the teacher, and the teacher teaches you everything that you, that the teacher teaches you the material. He teaches what you need to know. But now you're given the test, right? And what happens when you're given the test but you don't learn the material? You fail the test. But what happens when you study the test, you put your time into it, you learn it, you read it, and then you go and take the test? What happens? You pass the test. And sometimes for us, it's not about that. And sometimes I like to change the word test as well, because it seems like a little worrisome, but sometimes I change the word to challenge. And what happens when the Lord is giving us the literal tool, the word of God? He's giving us the word for us to learn it, for us to write it on our hearts. And then when we read it and we apply it in our daily lives, when situations come, when situations arise, when there's things going on in your life, we're able to use the word of God and apply it, and now the enemy can't tempt you because you know the word of God. Or now you can't put yourself in situations and say, oh well, you know, this was the enemy. No, you put yourself in a situation, now we can't say that because we know the word of God. So what happens when we aren't reading this? What happens when we aren't taking the time, when we are distracted? We can't take this and put this on our hearts. Now when situations arise, now when things come up, we're like, we fall into our sin. We fall into what is the very thing that Christ died for. We fall into it because now we didn't learn. We didn't apply. There's nothing to, we can't put anything into application because now it's you didn't put in the effort, you didn't put in the time. And it's not a shame. Again, like I said, it's hard sometimes. It is difficult to get in your word, especially with people who are not readers. I was not always a reader. And the thing with me is that I had to learn to love reading. I prayed to God. I was like, God, please. I want to read your word. I want to read books. And that was one of my biggest prayers a few years ago. And now I can read books. Now I can read the word. But there's times where you're just so distracted with life that sometimes it just can get difficult to just take that time and separate your time with God. And I understand, I'm human. I feel you, especially whether you're a new believer or you've been in this for a while, especially being in it for a while. Sometimes you're so, not that you're used to it, but sometimes it can feel tiresome. And again, I'm being completely honest right now. There's been times where I've been in specific books and I'm like, God, I have to change it up. I'm sorry. I have to change this up. And I'll pray and I'm like, God, where do you want me to be right now? Because, you know, and sometimes it is God, where God is like, this is not where I need you to be right now. And that was only for a season. I needed you to be there and I'll bring you back. And it's happened to me a few times. So again, that when you take your time with the Lord, God will reveal those things to you. And in this specific story with Jesus, you know, it goes to show that he was, even when he was taken into this desert, even when he was taken to be by himself in his intimate time with the Lord, the enemy was still trying him, but God was still present. And it goes to show God was still present in that very moment. When we are being tempted, when we are being drawn into something, when we are being distracted, God is still present. God is still there sitting with us, waiting for us. I don't know if you've seen that. There's a photo circulating on social media. It's the cutest photo. I'll probably post it. But it's Jesus sitting at a table and the other seat is empty. And he's like all smiling and waiting. And some people have posted it with like super sad sounds. And I get so emotional over those. But sometimes people put like a little caption on it that says, you know, when Jesus is waiting for you at the end of every day. And oh my God, I literally cry right now. But I love that photo because it just reminds you how much Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is sitting with you. He is sitting with us in our suffering. He is sitting with us in our joy. He celebrates with us. And he also grieves with us. So I love, love, love that photo because it just reminds me that we're never alone. And in those moments where, yeah, God, I'm tired. I'm extremely tired. I haven't made time. I haven't opened my word. I haven't prayed. God, I want to talk to you, but I'm tired. He understands. And he just wants a conversation. He just wants a conversation. A few days ago, I was going back and forth with God. Really, honestly, I was just talking to God on my own. And I was just saying how, literally, I talked to God like if that's my homie. Like, I will sit there and rant. And like, he's my best friend, because he is. And I was talking to God, and I was just talking to him about my situations and just like, God, you know this and you know that. And I don't know what to do. I'm extremely exhausted. And just even sometimes God's words, you don't have to hear. Just knowing that he's present and knowing that he hears us and knowing that he understands and he knows the desires of our hearts is comforting enough. It's honestly, I don't need a response. Just knowing that he never leaves is more than enough. And when we are distracted with our lives and when we are just taken into a whirlpool of things and just doing so many things, sometimes we forget to really put into perspective on what is really going on around us. Sometimes God is allowing things to happen because he needs us to see something. And right now I'm asking God, God, what are you trying to show me? Because this is a lot. But what I understood was that God knows we're capable. God knows that you're capable. God knows that you are able. You are more than able. But it's whether you are walking alongside God Himself. Like I said, He never leaves us, He never forsakes us. So, in our seasons and in our situations, especially when we are distracted, especially when we're, caught up in life and caught up in our own personal things, not that we should ever separate God from our lives, from every single thing. God should be in everything that we do, especially when we are walking in the Spirit. God should always be the number one thing in that part of your life, in every single part of your life. So God is always, 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 always present in everything that we do. And a lot of the times it can be frustrating. Trust me, I get it. It can be very frustrating. It can be exhausting at times, and I remember, and one thing before ending this episode, because we are coming to an end, was that I remember when I was in therapy. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. No way. Yeah, it's been over a year that I haven't been in therapy. It's almost 2 years, 2 years ago, in 2023. When I was in therapy, one thing that I remember my therapist telling me, because I was at that time, I was still struggling with even just having like my intimate time with God in general, like really sitting down, because I was so ashamed at that time. I felt as if just praying alone, like God would, not that God was gonna strike me or anything, but like I just felt like I wasn't worthy of even speaking to him in that time. And it's crazy to even think that, because I was involved in so many things, especially with the ministry, especially with church. And it was, I think this was like very early when I started therapy, so it was the beginning of 2023. And I was just sharing with her, I was like, I just don't feel like he even wants to talk to me. I don't feel like he wants to listen to what I have to say, and I just have so much going on that my life is there's so many other bigger issues in the world. Why would he want to focus on my little issues? And I remember telling her how I was just, it was very hard for me to have a routine. I struggled with, even just like doing basic things, doing basic tasks. It was very hard for me. Because again, I just felt like I wasn't worthy of things. And I remember one thing that she said to me that really, really, really stuck with me until this day was that God isn't a God of routine, He's a God of order. And when we start looking at God from the perspective of, well, I need to read my Bible at 5 in the morning and I need to, pray at this time and pray this amount of time and do these things and go to church on Sunday and go to church on Wednesday and go to church on Friday, we just begin to create a checklist. And it really, really stuck with me because it made me realize that I was just trying to check off a box. I was trying just to make myself feel better rather than understand what transformative power was, the transformative power of Jesus Christ. When you understand transformation, when you understand the death of Christ, you understand that our lives are not just to check off a box. Our relationship with him is not just to check off a box. If we were to be with, okay, for those of you who are in relationships, right, or married or whatever the case is, or even friendships, let's just say, even friendships, if you were to just listen to your partner and you just check off all the boxes that they want and what they need, but you don't desire that, you just want to satisfy them, but it doesn't satisfy you whatsoever. It doesn't make you happy doing it. You're not happy doing anything that they're asking for, and you're kind of just miserable with it. What is the purpose of doing something but your heart isn't in the right place? That's our relationship with God. What is the point of doing something, reading our word, praying, but our heart isn't even in it? Our heart is far from it. And that's not what God intended for us. And that really, really sat with me till this day. I don't want to live a checkbox relationship with God. And I don't want any of you to. So sometimes we tend to pitch tents around certain things that we need to do. And that comes from religion. That is religious. It is like the Pharisees, where you had to live by the law and do XYZ traditions. And at a time, it worked. At a time, it was, that's before the death of Christ, that was before the life of Christ, but that was something that worked at that time. But when Jesus came, when Jesus entered into this world, he was sent to break all of that. He was sent to break the law, and he was sent to rewrite what was broken. He was sent to rewrite what was destroyed. So, getting into it. My allergies are crazy, bro. Like, ugh. Anyways. So, God wants relationship with you. He wants intentionality. He does not want us to be distracted. And when we start to, when we are now being distracted, we have to realize that our purpose must be great. Understand that your purpose must be very great if you are distracted. And it really, really, really was just something, literally last week, that God was just like, if the enemy can't destroy you, he will distract you. And you will be distracted. And when you have a call, when you have an anointing, when you have a purpose, when you have something, the enemy will try so hard to destroy it from you. The enemy will try so hard to take it away from you. That's why you have to be so rooted in the word, so rooted in your faith. Because when the enemy comes to try and destroy it, the only thing that he can do is distract you. Especially when we are sons and daughters of God, the enemy cannot touch us. The enemy cannot touch us. He can only send little, my dad described this perfectly, he can send little darts, but he cannot touch you. That's why when you give your life to Christ and you have received the Spirit of God, when you have received the Holy Spirit in your life and have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, Lord and Savior, because he governs us, that's why we cannot be possessed by demons. Now, there is a difference between being possessed by a demon and spiritual battles. Now, spiritual spirits are different from demons. That's a whole other subject. We're not getting into that. But, and it's really deep. That's like something that, yeah, that's a whole, maybe that's a guest episode. But yeah, so we cannot be possessed by demons when we have the Spirit of God living in us, because where there is light, darkness cannot exist. Darkness cannot exist where there is light. So now if there's people struggling with those, or people struggling with spiritual things, that's very different. And that is why it's very important to, you know, be in counseling, speaking to our pastor, speaking to our leaders, speaking to our mentors. Our flesh is weak. Our flesh is so weak. When the enemy tries to distract us, he's going to send those darts, and he's going to send that distraction, and he's going to send those the ill thoughts. But it is us who we need to root ourselves in the Word, so that when those times come, when those situations arise, when those things, you know, show up in our lives, we know the Word of God so we have planted it so heavy in our hearts that we can say, this cannot shake me, this cannot move me. So I want to pray. Wherever you're at, just bow your heads. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you for the resurrection power that lives within us. God, we just thank you for this episode. We thank you for the revelation that you have been pouring out in this time, Lord. I just pray for a new revelation for our brothers and sisters listening to this podcast, listening to these episodes. God, I pray that we do not leave the same, that we don't continue to go back to our habits and our old patterns. And if we do, God, that you continue to speak to us, that you continue to shift our minds, that you continue to lead us and guide us. Lord, we know that our flesh is so weak. Our flesh is so, so, so weak, God. So, Lord, we know that your spirit is greater than our flesh. And God, we stand firm in your truth. We thank you for reminding us that even when we are distracted, even when we are trying to be destroyed, God, you stand firm with us. You are an almighty God. So we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for being our strength. We thank you for being our rock and our foundation. God, your word is everlasting. It is everlasting. And we write your word on our hearts, God, so that we can live accordingly to your plan. We can live accordingly to your will, the will that you have for our lives, God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, God. So we pray in this time, Lord, we cast out any spirits, anything that is not of you, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, new beginnings are going to happen. New shifts. and distractions are not from you, God. But we know distractions can also be a test of our faith. Distractions can also be a rerouting of our faith, God. So allow us to be firm. We do not want to fall into routines. We don't want to fall into checking off a box. God, we want to make this a lifestyle. We want to make you our life. So thank you for what you do, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. God is so good. So like I said, the next few weeks, the next few episodes, gonna be amazing. We have a few guests. I'm so excited. There's definitely some news coming out this weekend too about schedules and things like that, and I'm so ready to get into it. So yeah, I love you guys so much. Do not forget to share the pod, share clips, share whatever it is to get the word of God out there. It is not my platform. It is the platform of God. He will always be lifted high and exalted in everything that we do, and especially in this podcast that he has given me and he has blessed me with. So continue praying for me, continue praying for this podcast. And if you would like to tithe or bless the ministry, there is a link in my bio. And yeah, so I love you guys. Thank you for everything, and I'll see you soon.